It is difficult to be married to an author, more challenging in many ways than the writing task itself. For their sacrifices, for their unconditional love and patience, this book, like others, is dedicated to our remarkable wives, Janet Herbert and Rebecca Moesta Anderson. To the Fremen, he is the Messiah. To the vanquished, he is the tyrant. To the Bene Gesserit, he is the Kwisatz Haderach. But Paul is my son, and always will be, no matter how far he falls. Lady Jessica, Duchess of Caladan. The Emperor Paul Muad'Dib survived a major assassination attempt when a stone burner robbed him of his sight. Though blind, he could see the cracks in his empire, the political stresses and long festering wounds that threatened to tear his rule apart. Ultimately, he knew, whether through prescience or mentat analysis, that the problems were insurmountable. With his beloved Chaney dead in childbirth and his newborn twins helpless, Muad'Dib turned his back on humanity and his children and walked into the desert, leaving the empire to his 16-year-old sister, Aaliyah. Thus, he abandoned everything he had worked to create. Even the most careful historian can never know the reason for this. Bronso of Ix, Analysis of History, Muad'Dib. Though he is gone, Muad'Dib never ceases to test us. Who are we to doubt his choices? Wherever he is, in life or death, Muad'Dib continues to watch over his people. That is why we must pray to him for guidance. Princess Irulan, The Legacy of Muad'Dib. Part 1, 10207 AG. After the overthrow of Shaddam IV, the reign of Paul Muad'Dib lasted 14 years. He established his new capital in Arakeen on the sacred desert planet Dune. The Muad'Dib's jihad is over at long last. Conflicts continue to flare up. Paul's mother, the Lady Jessica, has withdrawn from the constant battles and political schemes and returned to the Atreides' ancestral home of Caladan to serve there as Duchess. In my private life on Caladan, I receive few reports of my son's jihad, not because I choose to be ignorant, but because the news is rarely anything I wish to hear. Lady Jessica, Duchess of Caladan. The unscheduled ship loomed in orbit over Caladan. A former Guild highliner pressed into service as a jihad transport. A young boy from the fishing village, apprenticed to the castle as a page, rushed into the garden courtyard. Looking awkward in his formal clothing, he blurted, "It's a military-equipped vessel, my lady. Fully armed." Kneeling beside a rosemary bush, Jessica snipped off fragrant twigs for the kitchens. Here in her private garden, she maintained flowers, herbs, and shrubs in a perfect combination of order and chaos, useful flora and pretty pleasantries. In the peace and stillness just after dawn, Jessica liked to work and meditate here, nourishing her plants and uprooting the persistent weeds that tried to ruin the careful balance. Unruffled by the boy's panic, she inhaled deeply of the aromatic evergreen oils released by her touch. Jessica rose to her feet and brushed dirt off her knees. "Have they sent any messages?"
"Only that they are dispatching a group of Kizaret emissaries, my lady. They demand to speak with you on an urgent matter."
"They demand?" The young man quailed at her expression.
"I'm sure they meant it as a request, my lady. After all, would they dare to make demands of the Duchess of Caladan and the mother of Muad'Dib? Still, it must be important news indeed to warrant a vessel like that."
The young man fidgeted like an eel washed up on shore. She straightened her garment.
"Well, I'm sure the emissary considers it important."
Probably just another request for me to increase the limits on the number of pilgrims allowed to come here. Caladan, the seat of House Atreides for more than 20 generations, had escaped the ravages of the jihad, primarily because of Jessica's refusal to let too many outsiders swarm in. Caladan's self-sufficient people preferred to be left alone. They would gladly have accepted their Duke Leto back, but he had been murdered through treachery at high levels. Now the people had his son Paul Muad'Dib instead, the Emperor of the known universe. Despite Jessica's best efforts, Caladan could never be completely isolated from the outside storms in the galaxy. Though Paul had paid little attention to his home planet anymore, he had been christened and raised here. The people could never escape the shadow cast by her son. After all the years of Paul's jihad, a weary and wounded peace had settled over the Imperium like a cold winter fog. Looking at the young messenger now, she realized that he had been born after Paul became emperor. The boy had never known anything but the looming jihad and the harsher side of her son's nature. She left the courtyard gardens, shouting to the boy, "Summon Gurney Halleck. He and I will meet the delegation in the main hall of Castle Caladan." Jessica changed out of her gardening clothes into a sea-green gown of state. She lifted her ash-bronze hair and draped a pendant bearing a golden Atreides hawk crest around her neck. She refused to hurry. The more she thought about it, the more she wondered what news the ship might bring. Perhaps it wasn't a trivial matter after all. Gurney was waiting for her in the main hall. He had been outrunning his gaze hounds, and his face was still flushed from the exercise.
"According to the spaceport, the emissary is a high-ranking member of the Kizaret, bringing an army of retainers and honor guards from Arrakis. Says he has a message of the utmost importance."
She pretended a disinterest she did not truly feel. "By my count, this is the 9th urgent message they've delivered since the jihad ended 2 years ago."
"Even so, my lady, this one feels different."
Gurney had aged well, though he was not and never would be a handsome man with that ink vine scar on his jaw and those haunted eyes. In his youth, he'd been ground under the Harkonnen boot, but years of brave service had shaped him into one of House Atreides' greatest assets. She lowered herself into the chair that her beloved Duke Leto had once used. While scurrying castle servants prepared for the emissary and his entourage, the director of the kitchen staff asked Jessica about appropriate refreshments. She answered in a cool tone, "Just water.
Serve them water."
"Nothing else, my lady? Is that not an insult to such an important personage?" Gurney chuckled.
"They're from Dune. They'll consider it an honor."
The foyer's oaken castle doors were flung open to the damp breeze, and the honor guard marched in with a great commotion. 15 men, former soldiers from Paul's jihad, carried green banners with highlights of black or white. The members of this unruly entourage wore imitation stillsuits as if they were uniforms, though they were completely unnecessary in Caladan's moist air. Glistening droplets covered the group from the light drizzle that had begun to fall outside. The visitors seemed to consider it a sign from God. The front ranks of the entourage shifted aside so that Ikizara, a yellow-robed priest of the jihad, could step forward. The priest lowered his damp hood to show his bald scalp, and his eyes glittered with awe, completely blue from addiction to the spice melange.
"I am Isbar, and I present myself to the mother of Muad'Dib."
He bowed, then continued the bow all the way to the floor until he had prostrated himself.
"Enough of this. Everyone here knows who I am."
Even when Isbar stood, he kept his head bowed and his eyes averted.
"Seeing the bounty of water on Caladan, we more fully understand Muad'Dib's sacrifice in coming to Dune as the savior of the Fremen.